is such a beautiful gospel. I love the Transfiguration. It's such an incredible thing, such a beautiful thing, because it's so remarkable. I mean, we've heard it so many times, we've read it, we've heard it, you know, we're familiar with the Transfiguration, and yet it is, in fact, truly remarkable. And it's not just even one event, or it's not just one thing that should just sort of stop and go, wow, that's really incredible. It's one after another after another. I mean, I want you to think about this genuinely. For the very power, for the very incredulity that happens within this event, we have Peter, James, and John, and they go with Jesus, and they go up the side of a high mountain. All of that sounds very blasé-faire. That's fine. That's wonderful. But after that, every sentence becomes more and more incredible. Think about this. He's transfigured before them. How many people do you know regularly have an experience where they're transfigured? Where they literally change before your very eyes? His face became to shine like the sun, his clothes as white as light himself. That alone should be one of those moments that we actually stop and go, wait, what just happened? How incredible is this? That this Jesus who they know, this Jesus they've come to know and come to cherish and really remarked on in so many ways, and he's suddenly transfigured before them, becoming bright as light itself. And by itself, that's incredible. But it doesn't stop there. Because then suddenly, there's Moses and Elijah, and they're on either side of him. And how do they know that they're Moses and Elijah? Moses has been dead for over 1,000 years at this point. How do they even know that this was Moses? How do they know that this was Elijah? They've been dead for hundreds of years. They didn't have any photographs. We don't have any photographs of Moses and Elijah. Do they have name tags on? I don't know. I mean, sometimes I wonder if Moses has to carry stone tablets with him everywhere he goes. It's kind of like his signature so that people can identify. It sounds exhausting to have to carry stone tablets just to identify who you are. That's like carrying a car with you to try and prove who you are. It sounds exhausting. And yet, here they are. They know who they are. Moses, who represents the law. Elijah, who represents the prophets. The law and the prophets, literally, on either side of Jesus. And they just know who they are. And there he is, he's transfigured, and he's conversing with these people who have been dead for centuries at this point. And Peter says, it's great that we're here. Let's keep it going. Let's build tents. Let's keep you guys here. We'll bring the faithful. We'll have them ascend the mountain, and we can renew the faith. We can transform the entire faith and its connection and marvel at this and its incredulity. And that by itself is an incredible message. But it doesn't stop. Because then a bright cloud blocks out the light. A bright cloud, not a dark cloud blocks out the light. A bright cloud blocks light. Think about that for a second. If I was an English teacher, I would be criticizing this immediately, going, no, that's not how these things work. You're kind of conflicting your own story. But a bright cloud blocks the light, and a voice comes from the cloud. I want to talk about a letter of recommendation. A voice comes from the cloud and says, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You get Jesus in the cloud to follow him all the time, saying that all the time. Trust me, no one ever made a reference letter for Jesus ever. It's this incredible moment, and it's terrifying. Honestly, I'm impressed that they weren't so terrified they didn't fall down on their faces before this moment. But it's then in a cloud, in a loud voice, and the disciples are so overwhelmed that they throw themselves to the ground and prostrate. Because it's terrifying. This is not a, oh yeah, that is transfigured, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. This is not something that we should take casually. But truly, this incredible moment where all these things are happening. Consider if you were told this story from the other direction. Your friend comes in. Hey, what'd you do today? Nothing much, you know, I went up the side of a mountain, guy turned into light, started talking to long dead people, you know, had a cloud tell him that this is his beloved son. You know, no big deal, just easy stuff, you know, another day, no big deal. Consider if someone actually came to you and told you this story. You'll never guess what happened to me today. I was out hiking with a friend of mine, no big deal, right? Easy going. Yeah, and then he turned into light. And he started talking to these dead people that I have revered I've read their writings, I revered all my life. And he started talking to these dead people, and the three of them, they were conversing all these really cool things. They were bright and shiny, and it was so overwhelming. And then suddenly this voice thundered from the heavens itself and said, this is my son. The next thing that goes through your mind is, wow, that's a really cool story. You are on some powerful drugs, aren't you? Which one seems more likely? Because I'm telling you right now, if someone told me this story, the first thing I'd be thinking was, wow, what drugs are you on? This is incredible. This is remarkable. And it doesn't end there. This is the part that amazes me. We have this incredible transfiguration, these incredible moments happen, and they're so overwhelmed, and Jesus reaches over, and he touches him and says, don't be afraid. Which, you know, is about as helpful as leaning over the side of the Sears Tower and then being told, don't look down. Don't be afraid. He touches them. He calls each of them individually. He touches them. He says, don't be afraid. And then they descend the mountain. Seems like the whole thing has kind of happened. And of course, in that moment, all I would be thinking about is, man, they're never going to believe me when I tell them this. And what does Jesus do? He turns them and says, oh, by the way, I know you just saw this really cool thing that's really amazing and blew your mind, but don't tell anyone about it until after I rise from the dead, okay? Great. How is that a normal sentence? How often do people look at you and say, oh, by the way, I know you just had this really cool experience. Wait till I rise from the dead to tell anyone about it, okay? Because, you know, that's a normal thing people say to each other, right? It's amazing. Right then and there, I have so many more questions. Right there, it's like, I'm sorry, Jesus, did you just say rise from the dead like it was a casual thing that you just wanted to drop in a caring conversation? We don't bury the lead on that one, Jesus. Rise from the dead? And now I'm not supposed to talk about this? There is something truly incredible here in the Transfiguration, that we should never become so casual, so indifferent, so la-di-da, that we miss the truly awesome power that has just occurred in this moment. The truly amazing reality that has truly happened here. Consider for a moment in your own life the incredible things that have happened. The incredible moments in your life where you actually have to go back and look at it and think about it and think, wow, something really incredible happened here. The impact, the realization, the truly profound reality that happens in those moments. You know, no one should ever be able to say, well, you know, one day my parents took me to church, I was just a little baby, they tried to drown me, then they sent me home, said it was good. You know, it's just baptism, it's not a big deal. No, we were baptized. Original sin was removed. We were consecrated as dedicated to God. We should never say, well, you know, it's not a big deal, slow day. I've just, you know, had my sins forgiven. It's not a big deal. No, you went to confession. Your sins were removed. That is a life-changing event, no matter how many times we do it. We should never say, well, I have to go to church, you know, because my parents make me. I have to go to church. You received God himself. And you have intimacy with God. Closer to God than you will ever be this side of heaven. We should never be so casual as to think that these things just sort of happened. Not a big deal. La-di-da. And those are just the sacramental ones. There should be more in your life. Consider for a moment that your parents didn't drown you. They let you become adults. And if you're not an adult yet, consider the moment that your parents still haven't drowned you and you still could become an adult. Consider the great reality that someone loved you so much that they looked after you, that they cared enough to bring you forward in this life. Consider the crazy people that were willing to marry you. Consider the great, amazing moments in your life that God has shown you. And take a moment this week to think, wow, that really happened. I still remember I went to my father one day, I was complaining, it was driving me crazy because when I was sharing with my two little brothers, and they were driving me crazy, and I said to my dad, I'm like, I don't know how you can share a room. I mean, when do you get to not share a room? Because this is terrible. My dad looked me in the eye and said, I wouldn't know, I still have a roommate. I thought, wow, you must really like your roommates. It was an incredible moment. That moment when we paused and went, wow, that really did happen. As we go into the second week of Lent, I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you to really think about those moments. Those profound, exciting, beautiful moments where God witnessed to you immense love. Whether it be through sacraments, or through your family, or through your friends, or some other truly incredible moment. And think, wow, that really happened. How lucky are we? And take a moment to thank God of that. And see His greatness.